Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. And if you want to follow along in your pew Bible, that can be found on page 860 of your Old Testament. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed God's mind about the calamity that God had said God would bring upon them. And God did not do it. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me, please? Spirit God, touch us so that when we reach out our hands to you, we trust, we know, we rest that you are there, for we are your children, so precious to you. Amen. If you have not seen the 2017 Patty Jenkins film Wonder Woman, then I urge you to see it when you're able. Without revealing any spoilers, but it is a superhero movie after all, Diana is the daughter of the Amazon queen Hippolyta, who formed Diana from clay and begged the god Zeus to give Diana life. The Amazons, women, scholars, warriors, live in harmony in a community on a beautiful Greek island, preparing to fulfill their mission. Their mission is to protect the world from the wrath of Ares, the god of war. The god Zeus created humanity beautiful and good, but Ares, jealous of Zeus's love for human beings, pits person against person, and, well, you know how that ends. So Wonder Woman, Diana, is trained by her aunt, Antiope, to be the greatest among great warriors, ready to respond to the war god's return. In crashes Steve Trevor, a spy for the Allied forces in World War I, eluding German pursuit and finding himself in a strange and wondrous place among the Amazon women. Steve is a man. Something of a cliche and certainly out of place here. When pressed by the Amazons as to his mission, Steve Trevor responds, "To stop the war to end all wars." Diana, Wonder Woman, takes this as a sign that Ares has returned and begs her mother to let her go with Steve to confront Ares. "It is our sacred duty to defend the world," Diana tells Steve. "But my mother will not allow it." Steve agrees with Wonder Woman's mother. "The way the war's going, I would not let anyone I care go near there." "Then why do you want to go back?" Steve responds, "I don't think want is the word, right? I guess I got to try. My father once said to me, if you see something wrong happening in the world, you can either do nothing or do something. And I already tried nothing." Diana is determined Diana is proud. Diana thinks she can stop the destruction that Ares has wrought. Her mother tells her, there is so much you do not understand. If you choose to leave, you may never return. Who will I be if I stay? Diana replies. Be careful of the world of men, warns her mother. They do not deserve you. And so Diana and Steve do the unthinkable. They leave this paradise and land in World War I Europe, which is not paradise. The horror of trench warfare, poisonous gas, millions dead, the wrath of men. Diana is aghast at the cruelty of men and women, and in tears proclaims to Steve, she was right. My mother was right. She said the world of men does not deserve you. They don't deserve our help. Diana's pride is now replaced by shame at what she does not understand. How awful human division, how awful human suffering and pain is, and shame at how wrong she was. Does the world deserve the help of superheroes? Do any of us deserve any help? The god Ares has determined that humanity is not worth saving, and some of us have embraced that idea. People are too mean, too needy, too mentally ill. People from certain countries don't deserve help, or certain races, genders, sexual orientations. In order to deserve help, you have to earn it, or to believe that my God is the true God. I fancy that I'm very tolerant, except to people who don't believe what I believe, politically, socially, at which point my pride kicks in. I'm right. I believe God is a gracious God, except when I look in the mirror and realize how unworthy I can be, how shameful my thoughts and actions make me. These are economics of salvation, divine economics when we assign their truth to God or to the Bible or the Quran or any other set of religious beliefs. Economy is from the Greek word oikos, which means household. How is God going to manage God's household, God's creation? How will God save it or destroy it? Or how will God tend this beautiful garden God has created? Who deserves God's love? Our answer is our divine economics. So what does your economy of salvation look like? Are you the God of right and wrong? What are your rules for maintaining this beautiful household for which we have been given responsibility by God? How's that working out for you? We are right, and still the good suffer and the bad get ahead in the world. We can't do everything to fix this broken world, and the little we do seems to have little effect. So my pride and my shame battle for control of my thoughts and actions. Andrew Sullivan, the political columnist and devout Christian, puts the tension between being right and being adequate in elegant terms. Pride forces you prematurely to expose yourself before you really know what's right. Shame forces you prematurely to run away from yourself before you really know who you are and what you're capable of. Most of us have an embarrassing abundance of both. Certainly Jonah does. In today's reading, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. And Becky was great in reminding us what happened the first time. The writer uses the same words from the beginning, chapter 1, as here in chapter 3. Get up, go, and call to the people of Nineveh. Only the first time Jonah says, no way. Jonah wants nothing to do with the living God or this prophecy. Jonah, the son of Amittai, my truth is his name, the son of my truth. That's his name. He's all about his truth, his pride. Why does Jonah run from God? We get a clue later in the story. He's angry at God for changing God's mind about the destruction of Nineveh. If you're a believer in the God of Israel, Nineveh is as bad as Babylon, destroyers of Israel, of Judea, pagans. Think Pyongyang, North Korea, or Damascus, Syria. Jonah would rather die than have Nineveh be saved. After all, the economy of salvation, Jonah knows, is Israel's economy. Israel's economy of salvation goes like this. Israel sinned before God, and so God let Israel be destroyed by Nineveh, Judea destroyed by Babylon. Israel's shame is Jonah's shame. And still, Jonah wants to hold on to the economics of salvation that got Israel in this mess in the first place, that Nineveh should be overthrown. Jonah is so certain about all this that he runs from God. Books passage the other direction on a ship, receives more sympathy than he deserves from the sailors whose ship is being tossed about in a rough sea by God, tossed about by Jonah's disobedience. Jonah is so sure of himself that he finally convinces the sailors that his economy of salvation is right. I would rather die than be obedient to God. So they throw him overboard. But that's not God's economics of salvation. Jonah is reborn, spit onto dry land by the great fish who swallows him. So God says, let's try this over again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. You can either do nothing, or you can do something. And I already tried nothing. The good news, of course, is that when Jonah proclaims the message that God tells him, the people of Nineveh believe God. Their conversion is almost comical. Jonah just has to say God's word. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And they believe, unlike Jonah. They put on sackcloth, a sign that they're sorry. And in the next verses, the king orders even the animals to do penance. The Ninevites say to themselves, our pride is not working for us. And once they admit that, God becomes God in their eyes, not the harsh judge, but the God who has been there all along, faithful, forgiving. Some scholars believe it's Israel in exile who the story is trying to convince of the good news of God's faithful love. Even after Israel has been destroyed, God is with them. Interestingly, Nineveh didn't believe the God of Israel, Yahweh, who Jonah is following. The word that the writer uses to show Nineveh's conversion is the generic word for God, Elohim. The household of God and God's economy goes beyond Yahweh, beyond Israel, even to Nineveh. This economy of faithful, forgiving salvation crosses belief systems. It crosses borders. Note that the root word of the word economy, oikos, is also the root of the word ecumenical, so that the household of God goes beyond our notions of our house and becomes God's house, which different ones of us experience in different ways. If you are an Arabic speaker, whether you're Muslim or Christian, the only word for God is Allah. Theologian James Allison points out that, like Jonah, we want to call the other sinful for who they are, but in fact, the sin is our participation in anything that excludes anyone. Once we realize that there is no excluding anyone, we live into the good news of the reign of God, the good news that Jesus proclaims in the gospel reading from the lectionary today, from Mark chapter 1. The time is fulfilled, and the reign of God is at hand. Turn around, stop excluding. Believe the good news. Lose your pride. It's not about being right. Lose your shame. Be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. We're all beloved children of God. Part of the joy of the reign of God is that we are not alone in living as children of God. Pity poor Jonah, but he does not have a family of grace to sing to us how God calls our name. He doesn't have the daughters and the sons of Abraham here in Dallas and beyond that gathers Muslims, Christians, and Jews together to celebrate the God who includes rather than excludes. Jonah doesn't have Oak Lawn United Methodist Church or First Garland who say, just because you are homeless doesn't mean you are not beloved children of God. Jonah doesn't have thousands of women gathered together yesterday to remind the world that no one is to be excluded. He doesn't have a beloved partner like my own who has superpowers. It reminds me that in spite of my being something of a cliche of a man, I have superpowers too, if I just embrace them. In the cruel world of men, Diana, Wonder Woman, has Steve Trevor to remind her of this. Steve has his own superpowers, of course, the same superpowers you have and I have. A ragtag group of friends, and the ability to choose to do something. My mother was right, Wonder Woman cries. She said the world of men does not deserve you. They don't deserve our help. Maybe we don't. It's not about deserve. It's not about that. It's about what you believe. Every day, it takes superpowers to overcome the darkness, to choose to include rather than exclude, to love rather than to hate. And so Steve Trevor chooses to honor life, to do what he believes, to stop the destruction. And Wonder Woman, the superhero, learns from this. I used to want to save the world, to end war and bring peace to mankind. But then I glimpsed the darkness that lives within their mind and learned that inside every one of them, there will always be both. A choice each must make for themselves. Something no hero will ever defeat. And now I know that only love can truly save the world. Wonder Woman's divine economy becomes ecumenical. She embraces humanity's great superpower and God's. My love for you is everlasting. My love for you shall have no end. When God saw what Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed God's mind about the calamity that God had said God would bring upon them. God did not do it. The divine economics of love changes even God's mind. All it takes is someone speaking the word of God to love rather than to destroy, and it overcomes pride and shame. If you see something wrong happening in the world, you can either do nothing or you can do something. And I already tried nothing. What about you?